Welcome to On the Agenda podcast from Associated School Boards of South Dakota. My name is Heath Larson, and it's great to have you with us. A few things for today for On the Agenda is Stand With Public Education Day is February 9th in the Capitol. Just want to give a reminder and send that information to all of our members. February 9th is Stand With Public Education Day. Come and help support our public educators as we strive to do the best we can for all of our students and all of the schools that we work with. In addition, as we continue our advocacy platform and work at ASBSD this year, a reminder that the legislative session begins on Tuesday, January 13th. In addition to that, school boards can continue submitting their Legislative Action Network members to us. That helps us in during the legislative session with all the information as bills come through, and we work towards helping our schools the best we possibly can with the legislative items that we need to address. Also, this will be our last episode for On the Agenda in 2025. We will be back with you in 2026 as we prep up for session, and we look forward to serving and engaging all of our members as we support, lead, and advocate for public K-12 education in South Dakota. So with that, Merry Christmas, and a reminder and an update that today we are going to hear from Garrett Bischoff, ASBSD's immediate past president and vice president of the Huron School District. When we talked to Garrett, this was a recording that we had done when he was at the state fair getting ready to show livestock with his sons at the state fair. So hopefully you can get to know Garrett a little bit better. So thanks for joining us for On the Agenda. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Associated School Boards of South Dakota's podcast. I'm Heath Larson, Executive Director, and with us today we have Garrett Bischoff. Garrett is a school board member and vice chair in the Huron School District and is serving as immediate past president for Associated School Boards as he's worked through the executive committee for the association. So, welcome, Garrett. Good to have you with us live from the State Fair in here in South Dakota. It's good to have you with us today.
Yeah, thanks, Heath. I just got done shearing a sheep, getting ready for kids are showing tomorrow in 4-H sheep show. So
One of the
just
best
got.
live one of the best live learning labs there are in the state, right?
That's right, the biggest classroom in South Dakota, right here at the State Fair.
Well, it's great to have you with us today, Garrett. Just share a little bit about yourself, anything you'd like to share with our listeners out there.
Sure. Well, I am a fifth generation farmer now. We farm north of Huron. We raise corn, soybeans. We also have a registered Hereford herd of cattle. We have a bull sale every year with that. So I do that with my dad and my brother's families. We all kind of chip in on that deal. So also year number 13 on the Huron School Board and year number 7 on Associated School Boards Board. And like you said, past president. Now I'm fourth year in the executive team. So,
Outstanding, Garrett.
yeah,
What inspired you to get involved in education at the school board level?
at the time I was actually working for South Dakota Farmers Union, and we had been touring the state working with kids. We were putting on programs at different schools around the state. One of the speakers. His main speech was about giving back and giving back to your community. At the same time, our then superintendent Terry Nebelsek approached me about jumping on. They called it the Kids First Committee. They were looking at getting a bond issue passed in Huron. So I went to the meeting, listened to what they were talking about. Ended up chairman of that committee, and decided that hey, if I was gonna push for a bond vote to get passed, maybe I should just try to get on the school board at the same time. And, kind of tied back into what I'd been hearing for the past few months from the speaker we were traveling with about giving back and giving back to the community. So kind of just everything aligned. And Terry, he was my old high school principal, and he had kind of said, yeah, you'd be great at this. And so I got to be my old high school principal's boss for a few years. It was kind of fun.
Absolutely. It'd be fun to be Terry Nebelsek's boss.
That's right.
Tell us what you enjoy, Garrett, about your role with Associated School Boards of South Dakota.
Associated School Boards is such a unique organization. We're a membership organization. We're out trying to help others, the school boards of the state, provide the best services they can for the kids. We've got tons of leadership opportunities, tons of trainings that you can be involved with. There's just so much to learn as far as schools go, and whether it's, budget, whether it's policy, all the different aspects of what happens in schools. There's just so much to learn. I think it took 2 or 3 years, me being on my local board, to even kind of get a grasp of everything. And I'm still learning, new things every day, the way it is. So, there's just so much education to be had for school board members, and ASBSD is a big part of providing those opportunities.
Absolutely. You have an extensive background in leadership, Garrett, even at your young age. You've done a lot of great things and been a great leader in a lot of components within your school, your community, et cetera. What are some qualities or experiences that you believe are most important for someone in your position to possess?
You want to say that again?
What kind of qualities do you believe are most important, like for someone in your positions to possess? So whether it's local school board members, association, executive committee member, what qualities do you think someone is best suited for? Like what do they need to show and demonstrate?
Really being a deep thinker at this level, I think, is extremely important. You don't want to just have knee-jerk reactions. There's so many times where big issues come up, and people want a quick decision, and what are we going to do about this? And it's good to just be thorough, to walk things through, pump the brakes, let's really think about this and how it's going to affect things. And I think that's something that we've kind of lost, is, we want the answer now, and we want to get things figured out now, and that's important. But you also need to think about what's going to happen when you make this decision, and down the road, what's that going to cause us to do? So that's something that I try to do, is, okay, let's not just make quick decisions. Let's make sure we know what that decision's gonna event, what that's going to cause down the road. And I think that's where we've been successful, I guess, in what I've been involved with.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about education policy and challenges. What would you say are some of the most pressing issues facing schools in your region or even in or the state right now?
Well, the big one is, and has always been, is finance. Schools get more and more thrown on their plates every single day. All, challenges with kids that we've got to overcome, and so finance is the big one. And we kind of get, beat up on that as well, that, oh, you guys just want more money and more money, but we're also trying to provide more and more services for our kids that aren't getting done elsewhere. That's to me the biggest one. The other one is mental health. The mental health issues that we're facing amongst our kids in our population right now are just skyrocketing. And how do we get on top of that? And then that goes back to the finance piece, is if the schools are going to be responsible for that, how do we make sure we're adequately funding that? Having psychologists and counselors and all those things that we need to have provide the services that kids need and aren't getting elsewhere. And those are the, to me, the biggest issues that we're looking at right now.
How do you see the role of school boards evolving in response to changing state and federal education policies?
Well, every time there's an election, it changes the makeup of who's on the board and what they believe, and so, that's the biggest thing, is making sure we keep responsible, level-headed, common sense people elected on our local school boards. That's going to be the biggest thing to affect change.
You talked a little bit before, Garrett, about community and stakeholder engagement, or local control a little bit, and your involvement in your local community. Talk a little bit about how school boards can foster strong relationships with their local communities. What are some things you've done in Huron? What are some things you've seen locally to foster strong relationships in communities?
You know, that's a tough one. Getting people involved with the boards themselves is it's tough. Board meetings are held in public, but they're technically a meeting of just the board. It's not an open discussion. So that piece gets tough. But we've tried to in Huron have different committees that are involved with things. We've had finance committees in the past, and we've been talking about, do we need an opt out or don't we need an opt out, or if we're looking at bond issues, have different community members come in that are involved in the financial sector that look at what we're doing and talk about what we're doing and understand that. And I think it's important to have those types of committees that are out there. Recently, we formed a foundation in Huron. Just, that to me, that's another board of people that are believing what we're doing and watching what the school board's doing and keeping a beat on the school and what's happening at the school. And the more of those groups, whether it's parent teacher organizations or like I said, foundations or other committees that you pull together, just getting people to have a discussion that, oh, this is what the school's doing and this is what we're involved with, the more of that you can do, the better.
Absolutely. And earlier, as we kind of transitioned to talking a little bit more about finances, you had talked a little bit about funding as the critical or the critical piece on, and you're 100% right. So with the increasing financial pressures on schools, what are some of the innovative strategies that you've seen school boards use to maximize those limited resources? What are some things maybe you're doing locally or in your conversations and collaboration with other state leaders, folks around the country even? What are some things you're seeing school boards do innovatively to maximize resources?
For us in Huron, really the one big thing that we did, and this was as I was coming on the board previous to the board I sat on, they made the decision to, and it's unique to Huron because we're big enough that we can do it, but we went to grade level elementary schools instead of just neighborhood schools. So we have a kindergarten and first grade center, second and third center, and a fourth and fifth center. So we can really be efficient in our class sizes and how many teachers we have on staff. We have target numbers for each grade that when you get over that target, that's when you hire another teacher and it brings class sizes down within range. Or if you drop enrollment, then you have a bottom number as well. That's one thing that we did that really helped us and be efficient in our budget to make sure that we were having only the number of teachers that we needed. Because sometimes when you have a neighborhood school, you might only have 10 or 12 kids in a class, which is good for those kids, but it's also, kind of underutilizing the teacher and what they can do. So now you've got a teacher that's not being used to their full potential. And teachers are expensive. That's 85% of our general fund budget to teachers. So that's one thing that we've done. We're trying to stay on top of as many grants right now as we can and be innovative with some of the stuff that's out there in the new CTE classes we're trying to get a lot of grants for those types of things, which really help lessen the financial strain when you get federal or state funds to pull in where normally you wouldn't. So those are some of the things we're doing. And like I said, we also fired up a foundation and we're trying to get more local people involved with specific things through the foundation.
Outstanding. You're doing a lot of great things there in Huron. As you kind of look to the future and have a vision for the future as well for public education, what are your thoughts or what is your vision for the future of public education in South Dakota?
Well, I think we've got a really good system the way it is right now. We just need to keep pushing on adequate funding, making sure the state's keeps keeping up with CPI, or maybe even a little better would be good some years. I see as things change in the state, populations keep moving closer to the bigger cities. How can we be innovative about CTE centers? That's something that we've been talking about here on Huron. We're doing some shared resources now on classes and mobile classrooms and things like that with some of the smaller schools around us. So, when those towns want to keep their identity and keep their schools and those types of things, well, how do we share more resources so that that can happen? So I think that's going to be a big part of the discussion is things like that to be innovative so that kids can still get the best education possible. But like I said, maybe you're in a smaller town doesn't have the ability to do that. So how do you pool those resources together?
So you had mentioned advice for someone to looking to get on their local school board to be a good listener, be an active listener. What kind of advice would you have? Because a lot of times when someone comes to you, they probably want an immediate answer, they want an immediate solution, or they're looking to get something handled pretty quickly, right? We're in a very, you mentioned it earlier, we're in a very society now is very convenience orientated, very fast moving. How do you handle those kind of situations, or what advice would you have for someone dealing or working through like a problem like that?
Well, the hardest part is a school board, for the most part, when it comes to issues with parents and administration or teachers, is really the board is going to serve as the jury at some point in time if there's an issue that escalates to that level. So when you first get on the board and people come to you and say, "Hey, I got this problem, you need to fix it," you got to understand that there's a line where you can be there to listen to a point, but then you need to understand the chain of command and your policies and how they all lay out. Because if a parent has a problem with a teacher or a coach, and usually it's a coach, you need to know, okay, this is the process that if you don't agree with this, you need to go talk to the athletic director and make a point to talk to them or the coach, or you need to talk to the teacher and the principal and go through the chain of command and understand that if there's truly a problem and it needs to be addressed, that this is how you do it. This is the policy, which is the law of the school that you need to follow. You can't just say, "I don't like this teacher because, my kid got a C and I think they're more than a C student." You need to follow the policy and was something done wrong or wasn't it done wrong, and go through that process. So you can be a listener and you can be a shoulder for somebody to lean on when they have a concern, but there's a point where you got to go, "All right, I'm a board member as well, though, and I need to tell you that this is the process. Follow the process. If it gets to our level, then I got to hear it at that point in time." So.
And there's also something to say as well, Garrett, from a board member perspective, that as an unbiased person in a hearing type of scenario, it's best, in those scenarios not to have maybe all of the information, et cetera, right? So
Right.
that chain of command is important. And I think you brought up a good point as far as respecting the chain of command, listening, but then directing folks back into that chain of command is the most appropriate, or where it's most appropriate is the best way to handle it. So
Right.
generally speaking, in South Dakota, when we've talked about this before, but our stakeholders typically they really like their local schools. Not that there aren't challenges that are, not that there aren't issues that occur, because we all know, it's real life and those things happen. But by and large, most of our stakeholders support the mission of their local school district. What are some examples that you're aware of that support that sentiment?
No, that's a good question. I mean, I do believe what you said, that every single community member in the state, if you ask them who had the best school district, they would respond with their own. I mean, it's no different than who's your favorite NFL team. You've got a pick, So people support their schools, they support their teams, they support their kids, they support their teachers. But then seems like it's becoming a trend, though, that just because you think your local school district's good, you might not think local, the statewide program's good, or you might not think nationwide it's good. So, yeah, those are some of the trends that seem to be kicking off.
Yeah, I've worked in South Dakota schools for 30 years in some capacity, from teaching, coaching, principal, superintendent, now association leadership. And one of the things, born and raised in this state, have a family of educators, that I think I've seen it through the years and been very blessed and grateful for the education system that we have in South Dakota. We don't always have a lot of glitz and glamour, but I think we have a lot of hardworking families and people in communities that show up every day and do great work for kids. And one of the things I think that we're talking a lot about and our schools are focusing on too is celebrating successes, right? And sharing locally, not only locally with what they're doing, but just getting those positive messages out and all the great things they have going on. And unfortunately, sometimes you can do 100 great things, and then one issue will pop up that seems to people want to take and run with. So to your point, I think a lot of from a support and positive perspective, people really need to focus on all the great things that are happening as well, and strive for improvement in those areas that we can improve in. So really appreciate your thoughts there. So any last words of advice for our listeners out there and the stakeholders across the state of South Dakota?
Not really. The only thing I got to say is football season's upon us and volleyball season's upon us, and go Huron Tigers because I think we got some good teams this year.
I'm sure you do. Well, I wish you and the Tigers and all of the schools across the state good luck, and really appreciate you joining us today. We had Garrett Bischoff, Associated School Boards of South Dakota, immediate past president, president last year, and also local school board vice chair in Huron. So thanks for being with us, Garrett.
Thanks, Steve.